We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
This is the Cowboy Insider Podcast. Dave Hunziker with John Holcomb on the phone as we talk college basketball. And let's look at all this from a broad perspective, John. The Texas Tech win was another big win, a third top 25 RPI victory, and another conquest of a top 10 team. The third for Oklahoma State this year. But now I'll be honest, you know, I didn't think until I did some research today that with an RPI of 96, that's where the Cowboys stand right now, that they would have a good chance to make the NIT, and then I should have done my research first. You know, last year Georgia Tech got in at 106 in the RPI. I think the win over Texas Tech may have guaranteed Oklahoma State a spot in the NIT. If not, one more win will definitely do it. So that's exciting. I think there's a darn good chance they're going to be playing after the Big 12 tournament. And with two more wins, it's probably the NCAAs.
Yeah, that's the isn't that the crazy thing about this, Dave? And it speaks a lot to the resiliency of this team and the way that they are responding to their first-year head coach. And it also speaks to how Mike Boynton has been able to adjust on the fly, too. I thought he made some interesting comments to us after the TCU game, prior to last night's game with Texas Tech, and that is, look, it's on me. We got away from the things that we have to do. And, you know, it's a natural progression, really, if you're a coach, right? You get some big road wins, and the temptation is to say, okay, how can we be even better on offense? Because you start looking at your weaknesses, and you think, okay, we know we're good when we do the things that we have to do, the things we can control, the effort and intensity on defense and getting after the glass. Now, how can we make our weaknesses stronger? I think that's probably, even though he didn't say it exactly like that, I think that's probably what he was talking about.
I'm going to guess you're probably right. You know, the one thing that jumped out to me in the Texas Tech game is, and he told us before the game after shoot-around, and you could see it watching the practice sessions, they were going to back off some defensively and not just get so aggressive in the half court defensively. And that was the case, and the outcome was pretty darn good. I mean, Tech didn't even shoot 42%, and they had been shooting the ball pretty well as of late.
Yeah, and you know, you also benefited. We probably should mention this before we go any farther with what happened against Texas Tech. The obvious, and that is that Keenan Evans, very far from being 100%. And you start looking at, well, they're good as a team, right? But he's such a difference maker for them, Dave, that that's, they missed him being at 100%. And will probably significantly miss him if he's not close to that Saturday against Kansas. It's a shame for them because, you mentioned it after the game, you kind of feel sorry for him a little bit because they've been able to do it. Best player at his best when they need him the most. And we'll see how theirs plays out. But, Dave, you forced Texas Tech into having to try and find out who that next man up in terms of creating offense for them with the Cowboys playing a different defense, what that was going to look like and who was going to try to take that mantle. And what you found was a lot of guys who maybe would have their head on a swivel when Keenan Evans would go to the lane because they knew they needed to expect the ball from him. You found them, for instance, when Culver drove the lane and made a great decision to dish it to Zaire Smith. I guarantee you, Zaire Smith thought Culver was taking it all the way to the rim and wasn't ready for the pass. That was at a critical point in the game.
Oh, it absolutely was a critical point in the game. John Holcomb with me on the Cowboy Network Insider. I knew Kendall Smith was performing at a high level offensively, but I didn't. It didn't strike me until I really was digging into it today, getting ready for Texas. In all the Cowboys' four big conference wins, he scored at least 20 points or more. He had 21 against Tech last night, had a big game at West Virginia, had a career-high 24 at Kansas. He had 20 against OU here in Stillwater, and he'd been struggling prior to that game. You know, since he got put back into the starting lineup, I guess that's been seven games now, he's averaged close to 20 points per game. And in these big games, oh, he's not only had big numbers, he's made big shots.
Yeah, and Dave, I've really enjoyed getting to know Kendall as the season has gone along because, you know, he's not the first grad transfer in college basketball to have to go to a new place and figure out how to fit in. Every one of those guys who does that has that to do on some level. And he was very honest and upfront. You know, the first times we would talk to him as the season got going about finding that comfort level and understanding where he would best fit in, because he's funny, because when you talk to him, he's very well spoken, he gives you thoughtful answers, but he doesn't strike you as a guy that's just going to go take something by the throat and everybody else is going to follow me. You know, he's obviously on some level been raised pretty well, because he almost defers, you know, and he has this thing about him where it's different when he gets the ball in his hands late in the game. And call it experience, call it just his style, whatever it is, but he always seems to be thinking almost one step ahead late in games. And I think that's why he's been so successful. It's because he hasn't shied away from big moments. And you think about some of the times, okay, he scored some big baskets for OSU, but think about some of the passes that he's made late in situations, like in Morgantown, up in the air, but knowing he had Jeffrey Carroll or Lindy Waters over in that corner by the bench, knowing all this stuff. And so last night, because we interviewed him for the post game after the TCU loss, and I brought it up with him because I thought, you know, what is this team not, I mean, outside of the, you know, making sure you get the consistent effort and intensity, what's the biggest issue for this team? Is it a vocal, experienced on-court leader, somebody that's just going to jerk guys, you know, by the jersey, so to speak, and say, come on, no, we got to do it like this? You don't see a whole lot. You see a bunch of really good people just trying to work it out together. And sometimes you need a guy that takes them. And you can understand if Kendall's a little reluctant to do that because he hasn't been in the program that long.
Right. Right.
But I brought it up with him after the TCU game, and I said, you know, this feels like a point where guys are going to dig down in themselves and find out whatever they have left. And I said, and so, you know, your comfort level, we've talked about this. What's your comfort level with stepping forward into more of a leadership role? And he knew exactly where I was going. And honestly, Dave, I think you saw more of that from him Wednesday night in his own way. And it's something that when he's out there and he does that, the games are close, the Cowboys benefit.
You know, one other interesting note on the Tech game. Coach Boynton shared at the radio show a couple of things about Mitchell Solomon. He only played 13 minutes, of course, had 3 points. The Cowboys in the plus-minus, Mitchell Solomon was plus 19 in the 13 minutes he was out there, which is insane to think that that could happen. And then also, he talked about Mitch, and you were speaking about leadership and so forth, that during the timeouts and even when Mitch wasn't in the game, he was helping the guys stay in the right frame of mind. And Coach Boynton said it allowed me just to worry about scheme. I didn't have to worry about managing the minds. Mitch had that covered. He said, you don't understand what a big contribution that is when someone takes that on and does that for you. I thought it was really interesting. And the plus 19 in 13 minutes is pretty interesting, too.
I love hearing all of that. And think about this, Dave, because we've watched Mitchell Solomon grow as a player. But young Mitch, he gets in early foul trouble, he's probably not saying a word.
You're right.
On the bench in that huddle because
he's too worried.
He feels like he's let his teammates down. That is such a great sign for this team at this stage of the season. And, you know, I think if you get more of that, you know, what does that guarantee you're going to go to Austin and win or go to Ames and win or up there get a sweep of Kansas in the regular season? No. But what it does help guarantee is that the things that you need to control the most every time out, there's a greater chance of that happening because there's more vocal accountability from your experienced guys. And I think that goes back to the whole leadership thing. And I love hearing that. I hope you get more of it. And as long as you've got that and you're playing hard, like we told Coach Boynton when we did the pregame interview before the Tech game, if you do that and you play hard, then we can live with the rest. You know, if you make shots and you don't, if you make the big plays at late stages or you don't, but if you're playing hard, you're going to give yourself a chance.
Well, John, appreciate the time as always. It sure is fun in February to play games that matter. And last night was kind of almost a last whack at that. And we're recording this on Thursday night, just so you know. Win over Texas Tech changes that dynamic. And, boy, it sure is a lot more fun this way than the other way. We've had the ill fortune to be in a couple of those situations over the years, just a couple, where you didn't, you know, you weren't playing games the end of February that mattered, but this team is, and they're doing it when nobody expected that to be the case. So it's even more fun when you've caught some people off guard.
Yeah, we just kind of chuckled about it afterwards last night, Dave, and said, you know, everybody who thought, well, they're not dead yet. They still got stuff to play for. And in fact, you get that win, and you've guaranteed yourself a winning record in the regular season. And given the strength of this conference, top to bottom, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment in Mike Boynton's first year as he continues, as he will tell you, to figure it all out. I'm looking forward to Saturday and then next week in Ames and at home for Kansas. And as we've talked about often, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, me too. And I think win at Texas, at the very worst you're in the NIT, win at Texas and win another one, you may be in the NCAA field. And so I'm not going to pull the trigger on the research until Oklahoma State gets one more win, so I don't want to jinx it, but I am going to pursue the information to see if there's been a team that's been picked dead last in the league in the Big 12 that has made it to the NCAA tournament. I'm sure it's probably happened, but I can't imagine it's happened very often. But I'll wait till Conference Win 7 comes before I go down that path.
Well, that's because that's who you are, Dave. You're a well-thought-out person. So
I don't want to mess up the karma.
No, I
don't want to mess up the karma. That's John Holcomb. I'm Dave Hunziker. This has been the Cowboy Network Insider. We appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.